And thank you. Hey, Erica, can you take that too? All right, well, if you get a chance after service, find Erica and just thank her for everything that she's done here in this community. And you'll still see family members around here. Maybe she'll come back for a visit every now and then, or Paul. So this morning, we start a new series. If you're visiting this morning, you came at a good time, or just jumping into a new series on the Holy Spirit. Before we go there, how many of you are doing the Logos read through the Bible? Raise your hand. Okay, little exercise here. Keep your hand up. How many of you are 50 chapters or more in? Okay, keep them up. 60, 70, which is about where you should be today. So you got some by the end of the day. I think you should be at about 80 by the end of the day. Okay, 90? Oh, I'm at 74, so my hand's down. 100? 150? Probably. You probably read the Bible last week, John.
Let's go, Daniel!
160? 190. Wow. Way ahead of me. He's like the tortoise in the hare, though. I'm gonna catch him, you know. He's gonna take a nap for about a week and I'm gonna catch up. All right. Cool. Well, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and this first introductory message, this is going to be a few months of us really pressing into the person of the Holy Spirit. So what I want to ask you first this morning is, when you think of the Holy Spirit, do you think of power or do you think of a person? Which one? You guys can talk in this church. Both? Okay. Person. Person. Some people person. Some people both. Yeah? Imogen, did you have something? More like what? Love? Ooh, you just hit my final point of the message. Wow. Fast forward. Let's just finish this thing. Okay, cool. Good answer. Well, I remember, by the way, it's family service this morning, so third Sunday of the month, we have family service and communion. We've got our elementary kids in here, so welcome. If you're a kid, raise your hand. Okay. Awesome. Glad you guys are in here. Well, I remember when I fell in love. And now you kids are like, oh no, Pastor Jeff's going to get all mushy. But I'm talking about falling in love with God. I remember I actually had butterflies in my stomach, like falling in love with God when that happened. I was in high school. Now, don't get me wrong. It was a season of my life where I was very convicted about my sin and my choices in my life, that they didn't line up with God's righteousness. And there was this repentance in me. So all of that was going on, too. But I was falling in love with God. I remember going to the Christian bookstore in Snohomish, like fish out of water. I didn't know, why am I even here? Like, this was a journey. A lot of it was just on my own, like God was stirring something in me. The Holy Spirit was drawing me to God. And I went into the Christian bookstore, and I said, I need to get a Bible. And I got a Bible, and every time I'd read that Bible, I'd learn something more about this person that I was falling in love with, God. And I just couldn't stop. This reading program for me has been really good this last week to just consume large quantities of God's word. And it's reminding me of that season of my life of like, wow, this God that I love and serve is so amazing and so incredible. And I don't even get some of the ways that he is. I can't even comprehend, but it's been reminding me of those feelings, physical feelings that I felt when I was falling in love with God. It's been really cool. And that's just the thing as we approach the Spirit. The Spirit of God is a person. And so we have this concept of the Trinity. Have any of you kids ever heard of that word, the Trinity? It's kind of a weird word, isn't it? It's a word that we use to describe this concept that we have how many gods? One God. And he expresses himself to us. We interact with him in three persons. How is that possible to be one God in three persons? And adults think they're so clever, and they say, well, listen to me, it's kind of like an egg, you know? There's the shell and the yolk and the white. They're all part of an egg, right? But there's one egg, and it just doesn't work, okay? You can't compare. I've tried these analogies, so don't feel bad, adults, if you've done this. You just can't compare an egg to the creator of the universe, to the one God, okay? It doesn't work. But there's water, you know? It's frozen, and that's hard, like solid, like ice, but then you can melt it, and it's liquid. You can heat it up, and it's gas. You see, there's three ways that you can experience water, but it's all water. It's a little closer, isn't it? But it still doesn't capture it completely. But here's something that we have to face. Do you think that God, who, if you read the whole Bible, like we're endeavoring to do in 4 months, and you discover how incredible God is, do you think we're going to be able to completely figure out everything about him and how that works? Okay, the Trinity, this idea of one God in three persons, I feel like the more I walk with God, the more I understand it, but I don't completely understand how that is. But I am experiencing interacting with the Holy Spirit, with the Father, with Jesus in intimate, deep ways in relationship in my life. And that's helping me understand a little bit more. In the Bible, we get all these verses that show us that the Trinity, this one God in three persons, is real. I mean, from the very beginning, first chapter of the Bible, which most of you read this last week, it says, then God said, let us. Okay, so it doesn't say then the gods said. It says then God, the one God, said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Okay, so God makes us in his image, but he refers to himself as us, almost helping us see that God is community. Even as one, he's a community. Father, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. Look at this verse in John. In the beginning, we just heard this, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word, and this is referring to Logos, this is referring to Jesus as the Word in this chapter here. So Jesus, let's put Jesus here where it says Word, Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. So how's that possible? He's with God, but he was God. And they're one God. Are you confused yet? He was in the beginning with God. I kind of like it sometimes when we get confused about God. To me, it's an evidence that he is God. Because I can talk to some really intelligent people who feel like they have everything about God figured out. And then they get to some of these concepts and they try to explain it through an egg or water or whatever else it is. And I just have to smile. Say, this is how I know God is real. Because you, a mere human, can't figure everything out about him. But he loves it that we try. And he lets us figure out more and more and pursue him our whole life until we breathe our last. That's what he desires. He wants to be known by us. So is the Holy Spirit simply the energy and power of God? Who's this dude? Luke Skywalker. He was my movie hero when I was a kid. Well, if you're familiar with Star Wars, they have this thing called the Force, right? Okay? It's fake. It's fiction. But sometimes I think we can think of the Holy Spirit like the Force or like a force. He's the energy of God. He's this light. He's this, you know, the power that raised Christ from the dead, that Paul teaches us in Scripture. But if we're not careful, we think of him just as this force, and then we don't relate to him personally in relationship as a person. Okay? So, Star Wars, it's, you know, good movie, but it doesn't represent God and his power. Now, does the Holy Spirit have power? Absolutely. Okay? The person of the Holy Spirit has the power of God because it's the Spirit of God. But we want to look at this morning the fact that the Holy Spirit is a person. And I think of the Trinity, okay, we just came through a series on the Father and understanding a deeper relationship with the Father. And I think that's something that we can be challenged in sometimes, seeing God as Father, letting him father us, allowing ourselves to embrace the fact that we are children of God. But I think we can get there, and I think we can grasp that the Father loves us, that he's a person, that he's interacting with us. Jesus, usually really easy for us. He came in human form. Jesus came to the earth, lived his life as a sacrifice for us to pay for our sins and win us back to relationship with God. And so we can relate to Jesus, and we get the fact that Jesus is a person because he lived in the flesh. But when we, for instance, have somebody in our life who passes away and their body dies, we might think, well, that person died on one hand. But our other understanding is, no, they didn't die because their spirit continues to live. So when it comes to people, I think we're able to grasp this concept that the spirit is the person. The body is the vehicle in which the spirit goes through life. And so when somebody dies, that person didn't die. Their body did, and their spirit lives on, either forever with God, if they're living through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, or forever in hell, in punishment, because they've rejected the living God. But they live on. They're still in existence. What I want to look at this morning are some of the aspects that we see Scripture revealing, and we're going to run through several of them kind of quick, that reveal to us that there are characteristics of the Holy Spirit that show us that he is a person. And we're doing this exercise to start this series, not so much because I need to convince all of you that he is a person, but I think we all need going into this series, which is not just to learn more about the Holy Spirit, it's to know him and to walk with him as a community, as the body of Christ, more deeply. So we need these reminders. It's been extremely helpful for me to spend time looking at the fact that the Holy Spirit is a person, and it's changed, even this week, the depth of my interaction with and my recognition of the Holy Spirit in my life. So first aspect I want to look at is we see that the Holy Spirit has intelligence, okay? So if he was just a power source, or like this electricity from God, he wouldn't carry an intelligence. And we see that the Holy Spirit even has a mind. Last week, we looked at this verse as we were talking about logos and reading through the Bible. These things God has revealed to us, this is Paul writing to the church, through the Spirit. So the Spirit is revealing things about God to the church, to us. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God has intelligence. He comprehends the things of God and the mind of God and the things that God desires for us in our lives, and then he teaches them to us. Super critical for our walk and relationship with God. So if we're ignoring the Holy Spirit and his presence in our lives, it's like we're standing on the air hose in our relationship with God. It's a big deal. As far as intelligence goes here, we see that Paul writes to the Romans, and he who searches hearts, that's the Father, searches hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Here we see this blending of the Father working with the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So this Holy Spirit is actually interceding, is praying for us, for what we need, but we also see that he has a mind. Okay, so that's intelligence, and there's so many verses. I'm just like scratching the surface here to open up this concept of how we know that the Holy Spirit is a person. Emotions. You know the Holy Spirit has emotions. Did you know, kids? Did you know that you can make the Holy Spirit sad? What do you think would make the Holy Spirit sad? What could you do that would make the Holy Spirit sad?
Sin.
Sin. Right. So it's not just about God getting angry, actually, with us. There's a sadness and a grief. Paul, again, encourages us, do not grieve. Do not make the Holy Spirit sad. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all. Here's some ways you can make him sad. Bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Those are some of the ways you can grieve the Holy Spirit. I remember early on in my relationship with God, there was a time that I grieved the Holy Spirit. I had a conscious choice to do what was right or to sin. And I chose, I think I'm gonna sin in this area. And I physically felt the grief of the Holy Spirit. I think he can bring conviction to you, and I've definitely felt that before where the Holy Spirit convicts. This was a deep sadness that I could feel even physically in my body. In that love relationship I had with God that I talked about earlier, I was grieving the Holy Spirit, and he was saying, Jeff, don't go that direction. And the reason it grieved him so much, one of the reasons, as I'd learned from walking with him and walking through that situation, is because he knew what was coming in my life if I chose that path of sin. He actually cared that I was heading down a train tracks with a train wreck coming. And it grieved him, and I felt it in my heart. I'll never forget that. It was a really good lesson for me to realize you can grieve the Holy Spirit, and it's out of love that the Holy Spirit is grieved for us. It's out of his love for us, which we'll talk about a little bit more in a bit. The Holy Spirit has a will. Do we understand what having a will is? Not just where your belongings are going after you die. That's not the kind of will we're talking about, okay? The person of the Holy Spirit has a will. That means he has an intention. He has a plan. There's a plan for your life, an important plan. There's a desire that he has to see you. As we just read in Genesis, you are made in the image of God. Therefore, there's a purpose to your life that he wants you to carry out in relationship with him. He has a will that he's carrying out. We see this here. What are all these? Paul's writing to the Corinthian church again here, and he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. These special gifts that the Holy Spirit distributes to each of us in the church to carry out God's plan. And Paul says, all these gifts are empowered by one and the same Spirit. Okay, so the Spirit has power as a person who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So the Holy Spirit is deciding, okay, Jim, Bob, Sally, Susan. Oh, I was trying to use names that weren't actually in here, but maybe all of those are. He's saying, I'm going to give you this gift, and I'm going to give you this gift, and you're going to be the body of Christ, which is this picture of an arm and a leg and a nose and an ear, and the Holy Spirit is willing that. He's saying, this is my plan as God for the church to look like me. So individually, we're made in his image. As a church, we represent him together if we're walking in these gifts. See, this is what we're wanting to head deeper and deeper into. This is what I want to head deeper into in my personal life with God, but even more so together with all of you. If everything we're doing at church, in community, whether that's during the week in our ministries or Sunday morning or in worship, If all of that can happen without the Holy Spirit, then we're doing everything we can do in our own strength. And we're going to reach the ceiling on what we can do in our own strength. But God's plan is that his very Spirit has been given to each one of us so that what we accomplish together as the body of Christ is a work of the Spirit through us, which means it's supernatural. So it means the experience of us as a community coming together is actually a work of God that we could not do in our own strength. And that's what we desire. That's what we are going to seek God to do. You can't manufacture that. But when the Holy Spirit does a supernatural work through us, guess who gets glorified for that? God. It's his work. That's in any area. I mean, that might be in the area of love. The way you experience love in this community, we can reach a certain level in our own human strength. So can the Rotary Club or any other organization. The culture down at the gym, I mean, people are really nice there to each other. But what's different about a group of people who are filled with the Spirit of God? There's a level of love that he can bring forth through us that you can't find anywhere else in the world. And we become a well that people want to come and drink from because they've experienced something here that is supernatural, beyond natural. And that's what we want to press into more and more. That's where we're going, talking about the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. It's not about trying to make those things happen. It's about leaning into this person of the Holy Spirit and letting him do his work through us. We know that the Holy Spirit is a person because he's referred to as a person in Scripture. When it talks about Spirit, often in the New Testament, it's written in Greek. And this pneuma, did anyone recognize that word from some of our English words that we use? Pneumatic. Okay, if you've used a nail gun that plugs in with the air hose, a pneumatic air gun. So a current of air, a breath, or a breeze. And so you'd think in Scripture when that word is used, it wouldn't be referred to. That's like, you know, a wind, or wouldn't be referred to as with a pronoun of he. But in John and other places, we see it a lot. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. See again this unity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's speaking what the Father is giving to him. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And this is Jesus speaking here about the Spirit. So it's very clear that the Spirit is a person. And most importantly, what I want to end on, that I think we need to spend time in this week, personally, soaking in, is the fact that the Holy Spirit loves us. And that's actually an evidence that he is a person. I talked about that experience I had with grieving the Spirit and the idea that that helped me see he actually cares about my life. He actually cares about my choices. It's not just about this angry God who you don't want to tip off by stepping out of line. He actually cares about the outcome of your choices and how it's going to affect you and the people around you. Look at this. He's called the Helper, Parakletos. I don't know if that's related to parakeet, probably not. Parakletos. Be quiet, Jeff, you're distracting. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Okay? Intercessor, counselor, advocate, comforter. This is the understanding of this word that's used here in this translation for helper. That's the Holy Spirit. That's his heart for you. There's this awkward silence that many of us have, that we have the Spirit of God living in us, but we don't talk to the Holy Spirit. He couldn't be any closer. If you've received Christ, you've received the seal of the Holy Spirit. He's come to dwell within you, and yet he gets ignored a lot of the time. He's just waiting for us to continue. See, making Jesus Lord of your life is a decision, meaning he's the leader, the ruler. He can tell you what to do, but living that out is a process. Hopefully, He's more a Lord in your life. He's leading more of your life now than he was a year ago. And hopefully that will continue to be the case more and more, that you're handing over leadership in your life to the Holy Spirit. He loves us. Let's stay on that, okay? Jesus, remember, declared his mission, and we talk about that a lot at Adventure, and he came to bind up the brokenhearted. Well, who's driving that? Look at this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, quoting from Isaiah to the people to share his mission. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Think about what this tells you about the heart of the Spirit towards you. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So the Spirit of God is sending Jesus to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. That's us. That's this world. He's driving that. That's his heart towards you, is love. He's loving the kids down there, I can tell. They have a puppet show this morning, so they're pretty riled up, I'm sure. So what about in your life? I hope this morning, if nothing else, we go into our series on the Holy Spirit. Next week, we're going to take a look at the Old Testament. And you guys have been digging into the Old Testament, probably, in your Bible read through. We're just going to look at how do we see the Holy Spirit interacting with his people in the Old Testament. And then we'll take a look at the New Testament and what happened through Jesus Christ in our interaction with the Holy Spirit. And we'll go from there, and we'll talk about the gifts and the fruits and what does that look like. And it's not going to be a series of works. Well, this is what it says we should be producing in our life through the Holy Spirit. So park the Spirit over here. We're going to go make these things happen. It's going to be, how can we build our relationship with the Holy Spirit in a way that we, before we know it, we're like, wow, where's this fruit coming from? Again, it's supernatural, what he's producing in my life. I'm super excited to see that growth in my own personal life as we head forward. But the question for you is, how are you relating to him? So even kids, I would just ask you, when you think about God and when you pray to God, do you picture God being way up in heaven above the clouds? Because he's there. He is up there. But do you also picture him being right in your heart so that you don't even have to yell and shout to get his attention? You could whisper under your breath. You could just pray even in your mind at times, and he can hear you because he sent his Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, to live in your heart. So when you're lying in bed, and maybe you're lying in bed and you're a little bit scared because it's dark in your room, you can remember, you know what? The most powerful person in the world, the Holy Spirit, is living in my heart. And I can have a conversation with him. I can pray to him. So adults, same message to you. Whatever it is, that fear, whatever's coming against you, do you relate to the Holy Spirit as a person? Not what do you believe with your head, but in your life, this last week, how have you approached the Holy Spirit? Do you think about the fact that he loves you? Deeply loves you. It can change things just to think about those things, just to spend time in the presence of God thinking about the reality of the Holy Spirit's heart towards you. So this week, I just want to encourage you, if you're reading through the Bible, awesome. If you haven't jumped on board, it's not too late. It is surprisingly easy to get caught up. You're like, 80 chapters in, I missed the boat. It's really not that hard. I went home last Sunday after church, and before I knew it, I had like 15, 20 chapters done. I'm like, this isn't really as hard as I thought it would be. There's actually a lot of time available to do this. We just choose to spend it in other ways. You can get caught up. Jump in. But if you're reading through the Bible, challenge if you haven't been this last week. Now this week, read the Bible with the Holy Spirit. Okay? You have been. but acknowledge the fact that the Holy Spirit actually is the mind of God, and he can give you understanding of what you're reading. And you may go, oh, good, that's what's wrong. I haven't been reading with the Holy Spirit because I'm confused. But inviting him in, submitting even your thoughts and your mind over to God and saying, Holy Spirit, I invite you. You're right here with me as we read through this list of names. Would you reveal something of the significance here or this story? So that's a challenge for this week as we kind of warm ourselves up to pressing into the person of the Holy Spirit in this series, is that you could, maybe there's an area of submission in your life. It's an opportunity to turn over that leadership to the Holy Spirit and his will, what he would will for you. You could do that. Some of you, that might be more relevant for you. Spend time thanking him in your prayer time for the fact that he loves you. You know, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't have relationship with God, because it really was the stirring of the Holy Spirit in me that even raised that hunger in me to press in and to pursue and to ask the people around me questions about who is God and what did Jesus Christ do for me, and to press into his word. And as I did, the Holy Spirit said, okay, Jeff, I have your attention. Let me help you understand this. He is so involved in the pursuit of me and my salvation. And so that's his love. So maybe for you, it's just acknowledging the fact that the Holy Spirit is a person who loves you. He's the God who loves you. Worship team, if you want to come up for our final song, I just want to pray us into this season that we're heading into as a church to pursue the Holy Spirit. So Lord, I just thank you for your pursuit of each one of us. There's a reason everybody's here this morning, individual stories of your love. And so as we head towards understanding you, Holy Spirit, in a deeper way, I just want to declare right now that our heart is not to just gain more knowledge, but it's to gain more knowing of you, experiencing you in our lives, not just for an emotional experience, but because we want to be the image of God that you made us to be. We want to experience the supernatural. But God, we want relationship with you in deeper and deeper ways, and we cannot ignore the Holy Spirit in that. There's no way for us to reach the depths of relationship that are available. There's no way except through the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, would you do that work in each of us? And we just submit to you this week that you would grow each person here. We choose to allow you to grow us closer to the Holy Spirit in our lives. Anything of the enemy that would try to block this, would try to keep us from knowing the Holy Spirit in deeper ways, we cut off in Jesus' name. So come and do your work, Holy Spirit. We invite you in Jesus' name. Amen.